left me high, my saving. In Jesus' name we have worship.
Amen.
Good morning, everyone. And happy Sunday to us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We bless God for the gift of a new day, gift of a new Sunday, where we can come before Him to worship Him, to praise His holy name. And I pray as we worship today, our worship will be acceptable in His sight in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So by the grace of God today, we are going to be looking at the topic, Behold, I will do a new thing. Behold, I will do a new thing. And our text will be taken from the book of Isaiah chapter 43. We are going to be reading from verses 13 to 21. Isaiah chapter 43 from verses 13 to verse 21. Isaiah chapter 43, and we are going to be reading from verses 13 to verse 21. Isaiah 43, from verses 13 to 21. And it reads thus, from verses 13, from NLT. It says, yes, from eternity to eternity I am God. No one can snatch anyone out of my hand. No one can undo what I have done. Verse 14 says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator and King. I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I call for the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle. Verse 18. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. For I am about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. The wild animals in the field will thank me. The jackals and owls too, for giving them water in the desert. Yes, I will make rivers in the dry wasteland so my chosen people can be refreshed. I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. Hallelujah. That is the passage that we are going to be considering today. And again, the topic is, behold, I am doing a new thing. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to come before you today. Thank you for everything that you, Lord, you have done and what you are going to be doing. As we go into your word, the entrance of your word giveth life and giveth understanding to the simple. We pray today you will give life into our souls and our bodies in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Give us understanding of your word today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Amen. Since the beginning of the year, we have been looking at a particular theme, which is my year of celebrations. That is the word that God gave us at the beginning of this year, that this year will be our year of celebrations. And under these themes, We have looked at various reasons for celebrations. We've looked at reasons in the biblical terms, and also we've looked at the contemporary world, how and why we need to celebrate God's goodness in our lives. We've looked at some of the promises of God, and we look at all or some of the fulfillment of those promises. We also establish during a series of messages as part of the Bible study or a sermon that God is a promise-keeping God who has demonstrated his faithfulness over the ages. But sometimes we still find it difficult to trust God and to trust his promises, especially when things are not going according to plan. Most of the times, it seems God is far away. I mean, some of the songs we sang today talks about seeing God as close to us. And at the time, when it seems that God is far away, we think that his promises towards us will not come to pass. We look at all the effort we have made. We look at the claims we have made about the promises of God. We look at how, in our own time, we think we are working faithfully with God in faith, yet we still see dryness. During this period as well, sometimes we doubted God. We think in our mind, does God really love me? Does God really listen when I pray? Is God really interested in my affair? But today, we are going to be looking at what God said to the people of Israel. And we are looking at some of the fulfillment of this in relation to the promises that God made to us. And if you take nothing out of this message today, I want you to know that God still loves you. And I want you to know that every promise he made to you, God is able and abundantly able to fulfill all those promises. And so will it be in your life and in my life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. So under this title, we are going to look at the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty of God in verse 13 of Isaiah 43. Verse 13, Isaiah 43, the Bible says, from eternity to eternity, I am God. What does that mean? God is saying, I am eternal, which means yesterday I was, today I am, and tomorrow I will be. Nobody can make God not to exist again. That means God is omnipresent. He has been before, he is now, and he will be forever. God said, from eternity to eternity, I am God. He now said, no one can snatch anyone out of my hand. Hallelujah. God is now saying, if you are his child, if you believed in him through the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing can snatch you out of his hand. No circumstance of this world will be able to snatch you out of his hand. No situation, whatever the situation you might be going through, can snatch you out of God's hand. No sickness, no demonic spirit, nothing can snatch you out of the hand of God. And that showed the omnipotency of God. This God is all powerful. God that no one can snatch anyone out of his hand. And not just that, God said in that verse 13, no one can undo what I have done. That's a great promise. Think about what God said he's going to do in your life. Think about what he has done in your life before. God is saying, that which I promise you I'm going to do, I will make it to come to pass. Not only that which I have done for you that are good, no one can undo it. Hallelujah. What that is saying is that God's work is irrevocable. Whatever it is that God had already said he will do it. His word is irrevocable. His work is irrevocable because our God is God who is ever faithful. Despite our unfaithfulness, if we look at that verse, the Bible is making it clear that this God is unquestionable God. God who has all power. God who has all authority over everything and over everyone. That passage is telling us no human beings, no oppositions, not even our errors or mistakes, not even when we experience delays and we are thinking, oh, we got to do it, we got not be able to do it. Nothing from eternity to eternity can reverse what God has established. And I want you this morning to think about it. What is it that God has promised you? Maybe at the beginning of this year, maybe last year, and you are still holding on to it. Maybe 10 years ago, and you are still thinking, will God still do it? Will God not do it? I have a good news for you today. From that verse 13, God is saying, whatever I have said concerning you, I'm going to do it, regardless of uncertainty that you might be going through, regardless of how your circumstance is now, and you are saying, oh, will God still remember me? God is saying, I will remember you. I always have you in the palm of my hand. If God decides to bless you, he will surely bless you. If he decides to heal you, you will surely be healed. If God decides to deliver you, deliverance is your portion. No one can stop God. No situation can stop God. Hallelujah. In the book of Lamentation chapter 3, from verses 22 to 23, it tells us that God's mercy never comes to an end. It said, they are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. God's mercies never come to an end because they are new every morning. So when you wake up this morning, it is because of the mercy of God. And the fact that you are awake today, it means that God has not done with you, that God will do all that he has promised to do with you. Shortly, we are going to be looking at some of the examples of how God promised the people of Israel of old and how those promises come to an end. If you look from verses 14 to verse 17 of the passage that we read, the book of Isaiah 43, God was making Israelites to recognize some of their past history. The things that happened to them, the promises that God made. But before we look at that, we want to look at that promise first. Where did God actually prophesy that the Israelites will become slaves? Because what happened from that verse 14 was talking about when they were in slavery in Egypt. But let's quickly look at Genesis chapter 15, from verses 12 to 14. Genesis 15. From verses 12 to 14. It's a story of Abraham, conversation between Abraham and God, where God gave a covenant to Abraham. By this time, Abraham had not even had Isaac. He was still waiting. And this time, the Bible recorded that Abraham was about 75 years old. Think about it, a 75-year-old man. And God is still saying, I'm going to give you a child. I'm making a promise for you. Your children will be so numerous that nobody will be able to count. And he was still waiting. He was waiting. And now he was 75 years old. And God called him out. And God said, I'm going to seal this covenant. Because covenant, in most cases, they are sealed by blood. And God is saying, I will seal it. And God told Abraham that go and kill a particular animal and he told him how he's going to sacrifice this, cut it into two and lay it. And Abraham did what God told him to do. If you notice, I am not saying Abraham, because by this time, his name had not been changed to Abraham. It was still Abraham. So in verse 12, from verses 12 to 14. It says, as the sun was setting, that is, Abraham had already done what God asked him to do. He put the animal there, he sacrificed the animal, and he was watching the animal. So the Bible said there that some birds were coming to that animal. So I'm reading verse 12. It says, as the sun was setting, Abraham fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward, they will come out with great possessions. Hallelujah. This time, as I said, Abraham did not even have any child. And God was saying, you are going to have children. Not only that, those children, they will go to a strange land. And in that strange land they are going to go, they will become slaves there. The Israelites might not even know this history. They might not know that something like this had been prophesied. But the good thing is, God did not say they will be in slavery and they will be slaves forever. No, he said, even though they will be in the slavery for 400 years, I'm going to bring them out of that slavery. He said, I am going to punish the nation that enslaved them. He said, afterward, they will come back with great possessions. Hallelujah. And if we go to the book of Exodus, if we look from chapter 3, we will see how God spoke to Moses, how God told Moses to be the deliverance of Israelites. We will look from that chapter 3 up to chapter 15. We will see that God demonstrated so many miracles, about 10 cogent miracles, before King of Egypt, Pharaoh, released the Israelites. But even after he released them, that was after 400 years that they've been in Egypt as slaves. Even when he released them, as they were still going, he still thought, oh, I'm not going to let them go. Think about it. Somebody had been serving you for 400 years. There are generations and generations and generations. They know nothing than slavery. But once upon a time, somebody just said, oh, God asked me to take them out, and so we are going out. It was difficult for Pharaoh. And so, even after God had already performed the 10th miracle, which claimed the lives of the firstborn things, animals, human beings, and Pharaoh said, enough, go. But as they were still going, he still thought to himself, no, I'm not going to let them go. And in our situation sometimes, even when God had already delivered us, the enemy will see, be saying, no, I'm not going to let her go. I'm not going to let him go. I will still try my effort. But the good thing is, God of the hold is the same God now, and is God forever. Whatever he promises, he will make to pass. And so there was that final deliverance that God performed. The final deliverance in chapter 14, the deliverance in the Red Sea. Many of us who are Christians, we know that story. And if you are not a Christian, I will say, if you listen to this message, go and read the book of Exodus and read the deliverance of Israel from Egypt by God himself. In chapter 14, they go to the Red Sea. The Red Sea in front of them, everybody was so fearful, so afraid. And God said through Moses, just touch the Red Sea with a staff. And the Red Sea parted. And the Israelites were going on the grand land in between the seas. See the wall of seas at one side, the wall at the other side. And they were going on dry ground. But the people of Egypt, the army of Egypt, they said, no, we will not let them go. We will follow them into that sea. Lo and behold, they followed. But what happened to them? They were drowned in the sea. They were drowned in the sea. And that was the story that Isaiah was talking about in that verse 14. It says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the only one of Israel. For your sake, I will send an army against Babylon. Talking about Babylon now. And he talks about verse 16. He says, I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. In verse 16. And in verse 17, he says, I call forth the mighty army of Egypt with all his chariots and horses. I drew them beneath the waves and they drowned. Their lives snuffed out like a smoldering candle. So Isaiah was reminding the people of his time that God, who had done it before in Egypt, is able to do it now. Because at this time, when Isaiah was telling the Israelites that God is able to do it, Israelites were also in the captivity of the Babylonians. And that's what we see in that verse 14, where it says, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the only one of Israel. For your sake, I will send an army against Babylon, forcing the Babylonians to flee in those ships they are so proud of. God is saying, I have done it before in Egypt. I am able to do it now. And God talked about what he did in that particular period. Also, I'm going to look at another example. And this is just to ginger our faith, to let us know that whatever promise that God had made concerning us, that he is able to make it to come to pass, no matter how many years of delay. Because humanly, we are the ones that think about delay. In the presence of God, there's nothing like delay. The Bible says 8,000 years is like a day to him. So to God, there's nothing like delay. But humanly, we look at our time, we think about how many years we have, we think about how many years we have been struggling, we think about how many years God had promised and it has not come to pass. But just trust in this God. The second example could be found in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, and is from verses 24. 2 Kings, chapter 6, and from verse 24. It says, and it happened after this, that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his army and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And indeed, they besieged it until a donkey's head was sold for 80 shekels of silver and 1/4 of a cup of dove droppings for 5 shekels of silver. Verse 26. Then, as the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried out to him, saying, help my lord, O king. And he said, if the Lord does not help you, where can I find help for you? From the threshing floor or from the winepress? Then the king said to her, what is troubling you? And she answered, this woman, pointing to another woman, this woman said to me, give your son that we may eat him today, and we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and ate him. And I said to her on the next day, give your son that we may eat him. But she has hidden her son. Verse 30. Now it happened, when the king heard the words of the woman, that he tore his clothes. And as he passed by on the wall, the people looked, and there was underneath, he had sackcloth on his body. And can I just say, this is a sign of grieving in Israel. That's their culture. When they are grieving, they tore their clothes. Then he said, God do so to me, and more so, if the head of Elisha, the son of Shaphat, remains on him today. But Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. And the king sent a man ahead of him. But before the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, do you see how this son of a murderer has sent someone to take away my head? Look, When the messenger comes, shut the door and hold fast at the door. Is not the sound of his master's feet behind him? And while he was still talking with them, there was the messenger coming down to him. And then the king said, surely this calamity is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer? So there was so much trouble in Samaria as a result of war. Many of us, we know what is going on in the world today. War here and there, battles, even some unprovoked. But the enemy will just come to people and they will be making war against them. And we have many of them in the world today. And during those times in Samaria, this army, they besieged the country. What they do in those times, they will build like garrison, and they will not allow people to go out. People cannot come into the city. They will lock them up until there's no food in that city. Not only that, even the animal, what is the use of a donkey? A donkey supposed to be used to fight war. But because they don't have any food to eat again, they started eating the instrument of war. And that's what enemy do sometimes. Things that you're supposed to be a precious possession, you start selling them because of lack, because you need something. And you are thinking, oh, I can do this now. Maybe I will get the money to buy it later. And so they started killing the donkey that they're supposed to use. If peradventure that even war broke into the city, they started selling them. I mean, they started eating them. It got so bad that some people were even eating the pool of animals. And not only that one, woman, a mother, eating their own children for survival. How terrible could it be? And so when the king was already perplexed, he did not know what to do. And he blamed God. He blamed God for everything that was happening in his city. The same way some of us will blame God today. When the situation that we are going through becomes unbearable, we think about it, we say, God, but you promised. God, but you said this. God, but you said that. Why is it that it's not coming to me? This year, we say, it's our year of celebration. But we are in March. It's possible for some people to be thinking, in this year of celebration, why is it that things are just going the way it's going? Why is it that I am in debt? Why is it that I am still sick? Why is it? Why? And as a result of that, we may think that God is not going to fulfill his word. And that was the situation in Samaria. And the king was actually going to the prophet because that city has a prophet. I mean, Elisha, for that matter. We know how many miracles Elisha had performed. But during this famine, he was silent. He did not pray for them that God would deliver them. He did not even do anything. He was there. And many a times it's like that in our life. When it's like God is silent. When it's like we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and it's like our prayer is just hitting the ceiling, as if God is not hearing. But I have a good news for you today, that this God, he listens, he hears you. And not only that, whatever he promises, he will do. So as the king was going to Elisha, Elisha prophesied. Elisha knew that the king was coming to kill him, because that was what the king said from where we read. And the king, from verse 34, which we will not have the time to read, Elisha prophesied. He said, by this time tomorrow, there's going to be so much surplus. How it will happen, nobody knows. But he said, God said, there's going to be so much surplus, which means the hand has come to famine. The hand has come to all their troubles. God is a God of sudden beginning. No matter how hard the situation had been, no matter how dry we think we have been, Suddenly, God will come for you. And this is my prayer for you this year. This is my prayer for you this month. And this is my prayer for you this week. That God will suddenly come for you. And he will make a way where you think there's no way. No one can ever think in Samaria that God can deal with the Syria army who are there waiting. Looking for the time when there will be nothing anymore. People will be paralyzed or all of them will die of hunger. And they will just go into the city and just capture the city and kill everyone there. That was what they were waiting for outside the gates. But God demonstrated his power. Only for lepers. And in Israel in those days, lepers are not allowed in the city. So they were outside the city. And God made the armies to hear voices. Only four lepers thought in themselves, oh, we better go to those enemies. If they kill us, they kill us. We are useless anyway. Because where we were, no food. Nobody will allow us to enter into the city. Because to them, we are already outcast. Nobody will allow us in. Therefore, the only option is go to the enemy and let them kill us. This four lepers did not know that God is about to use them. God uses unusual things to bring an end to that situation that you think you have been going through and you don't like it. And that's why I want to tell you today, please this year, this month, this week, open your eyes. Because God can come for you in a way that you did not even think of. The way that you did not even plan. The way that you are thinking, oh, can anything good come out of this place? So the lepers were going. And God made the army, Syria army, to hear voices. They were not hearing the voices of the sound of the lepers. Only four of them. They were actually hearing the voices of army galloping on donkeys, very mighty donkeys. And in fear, they ran away. They ran away so much in an hurry that they left everything that they had, their possessions, their clothing. And as they were running, they were removing the clothes that they think can be an hindrance to them. They started running. They left everything. And only four lepers were going. What a mighty God. What voice do you think they had? They had the voice of angelic armies. And when they heard those sound of that angelic armies, instead of the four lepers, they ran away in fear. I declare to somebody this week, this month, and this year, that whatever it is that is standing in your way of progress, God will make them to hear the voice of angelic armies and they will run away in terror in the name of Jesus. Amen. So these people, they ran away. And so the lepers got there. They saw all the clothing. They saw food. They saw everything. They start to pack and pack and pack and pack. After they have packed what they wanted to pack, they thought to themselves, oh, we better go and tell the people in the city, the news. And so they relay the news. I pray for someone to you today. I say, concerning that situation that you have been waiting on God for, good news is coming your way this week in the name of Jesus. Concerning that sickness that you think all hope is gone, good news is coming for you in the name of Jesus. Concerning that debt that you think it can never be paid, good news is coming to you in the name of Jesus. Concerning that situation that you have cried in the night, you've cried in the day, and you are thinking, will God still remember you? As God remembered the people of Samaria and he made surplus to come their way unexpectedly, I say this week, unexpectedly, God will show up for you in the name of Jesus. So from this story that we had, these two stories, when the people of Israel again, as a result of their sins, they enter into another slavery. So Isaiah was telling them, that God has done this, he had done that before. And we know in the Bible, there are so many other miracles that God did, either for individuals or for corporate country. So when he got to chapter 18, verse 18 of Isaiah 45, chapter 43 of Isaiah, verse 18. Isaiah said, everything that we have talked about, all those fantastic miracles we've talked about, he said, this is what God says. Forget about all that, because what I am about to do will be more spectacular. He said, forget about all those things that God promises, all those good promises that he had fulfilled in the past. Forget about that. Forget about the time that you have prayed and God has given you money. Forget about the time you have prayed, God has given you children. Forget about the time that you have prayed and this and that has happened. He said, because I am about to do a new thing. Hallelujah. When God says he's going to do a new thing, he is God who is going to do a new thing. He says in verse 18, but forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I am going to do. He said, I am about to do something new. And he said, I have even begun. So you will think, how come that the people that Isaiah was talking to did not even know that God has begun a good thing? Sometimes what happens is when we are in trouble, it blinds our eyes to see the new thing that God is about to do. When you are in a particular situation that is stressful, that you are under duress, it doesn't give you the opportunity to think right. And so that was what was happening. These people didn't know that God was even has started doing a new thing. So through Isaiah, God was telling the Israelites, he said, forget everything I have done, how I have delivered you and your generations, your forefathers, because I am about to do new things. And not only that, I have actually begun doing it. He said, don't you see it? Can you not perceive it? Can you not see what I am doing? And I'm asking that question to one person today. Can you not see what good thing God is doing for you? Can you not perceive that God is taking you through that process for you to get to your place of enlightenment? Can you not see that God is making you to pass through whatever situation you are passing through now, because God had prepared a better place for you, a better plan for you, a better future for you, a better destiny for you? God was telling the people of Israel through Isaiah. He said, I will make a pathway through the wilderness. Whatever wilderness in our life, God is saying, I'm going to make a pathway. God is saying, I'm going to create rivers, not just waters, not sprinkle of waters. He said, rivers. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. He said, you are not even the only one that will benefit from what I am about to do to you. That's what verse 20 says. He said, the wild animals in the field, they will thank me. The jackal and the owl, they will thank me for giving them water. So what God is saying here is that blessing that I am unleashing on you, it's not just going to be for you, because it's just going to be too much that everyone around you, they will benefit from it. Even strangers will benefit from what I am about to do. And God is saying, I am doing this so my chosen one can be refreshed. Because God is interested in your well-being. God is interested in your good health. God is interested in your refreshment. God is saying, what I am going to do, all the blessings that I plan for you, that I'm going to do for you, I am going to do it because I am interested in your well-being. That healing, God is doing it because he's interested in your well-being. He said, I have made Israel for myself, and they will someday honor me before the whole world. This is good news. You can just replace Israel with your name. For example, I can say God had made Rachel for himself And one day, Rachel will honor God before the whole world. And you can replace that because God is saying, I have made you, you are mine. Therefore, I have given you a purpose. A purpose of life is that through you, every nation of the world, they will honor God. And I pray for you as you go this week, this month, this year, that honor will be to the name of God because of what God will do in your life in the name of Jesus. God's name will be honored in the name of Jesus. By application, I want you to know, no matter what you have gone through or what you are going through, God is making a way for you. God is always at work. He is God that will never fail you. God is not just a God of the past. We established that in verse 13. God is active in this present world. In your present situation, God is active. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ, it's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Because you believe Jesus Christ, you are a new creation. And God is saying, I am interested in you. I am interested in your present. I am very much interested in your future. Therefore, I will make a way for you. I am going to do a new thing. So no matter how dry or hopeless your situation seems, God can bring life into it. What seems barren now can be fruitful through the power of God. Where you are dead or where you have reached your dead end, God sees a pathway. Therefore, as children of God, we must be expectant. We must open our eyes to see what God is about doing in our lives. We must trust that He is bringing refreshing, He's bringing breakthrough, He's bringing restoration on our way. And God is not just restoring what has been in the past. God is actually creating a new thing, a brand new thing that will be better for what has been in the past. No wonder the Bible says your future will be better than your past. And there's another passage that says we will not have any reason to say yesterday is better than today. And I pray for someone today, your tomorrow will be glorious in the name of Jesus. In Philippians 1 says, the Bible says, He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion until the day of Christ. So brethren, as God works in us, our response should be that of celebration. Celebrating God's goodness through our praises, through our gratitude unto Him, through sharing our testimony of God, what God has done. Psalm 40 verse 3 says, He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And I declare concerning you today that God will put a new song into your mouth in the name of Jesus. That this week, this month, this year, every day of your life, you will have reasons to sing hymn of praise to our God. I pray so it will be in your life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you. We are grateful for everything you, Lord, you have done. We thank you because you are God the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have spoken to us today. I pray in the name of Jesus, everything you said today will come to pass in our life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Whatever situation we are going through and we are thinking there's no help, Father, we pray, Lord, you will rise up to our help in the name of Jesus. I pray for your children who are listening right now and they are saying, God, how will you do it? When will I see it? I say, Lord, as you come through for the people of old, you come through for them in the name of Jesus. As they depend on you, as they rely on you with faith, Lord, please, Lord, answer them speedily in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Lord, we give you praises and adoration. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.
share.